Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
From Equity Mates Media, welcome to The Dive. I'm your host, Sasha Kelly. Let's play a game. I'm going to read you a series of tweets and you're going to guess the link between them. At Olivia Taters, I find the FTC case against TurboTax really interesting, particularly because tax accountants are extortion. At Two Headlines, US grocer LeBron James's online delivery deal sends Ocado shares skyrocketing. At Tiny Carebot, love heart, colon, please text back your friends. At Big underscore Ben underscore clock, bong bong bong, bong bong bong, bong bong bong, bong bong bong. Got an idea? Don't worry if you're stuck. The answer is they are all bots. Automated accounts that can do the same thing as real human beings, send out tweets, follow other users, and like and retweet postings by others. So on the weekend, when Elon Musk announced his deal with Twitter was on hold because he wanted to verify the number of bots on the social media platform, we wanted to know more. It's Monday, the 16th of May, and today I want to know, how big of a problem are bots? To do this, I'm joined by my colleague and the co-founder of Equity Mates, Alec. Alec, welcome to The Dive.
Hi, Sasha. One day you'll have an AI bot to do this for you, but until then, you're stuck with me.
That'll be the dream when I can collect the salary for doing pretty much nothing at all. Set the scene a little bit further for me. I know we're talking about bots because of Elon. We're always talking about something because of Elon, but what happened on the weekend?
All right, well, the plot has certainly thickened when it comes to Twitter. Elon Musk says his planned $44 billion purchase of the social media company is temporarily on hold.
So for the past month or so, we've been following Elon Musk's attempt to buy Twitter. And over the weekend, he tweeted, Twitter deal temporarily on hold, pending details supporting calculation that spam / fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users. Elon put the Twitter deal on hold and all hell broke loose.
It sounds like most things Elon does, really.
So on Friday, Twitter shares fell initially about 20%, recovered a little bit. For the day, fell about 10% as the market realized this deal was less likely to happen. Tesla shares rose about 6% as the likelihood increased that Elon wouldn't need to put his Tesla shares up as collateral. Many market analysts didn't think this was actually about Twitter bots. They saw this as Elon's attempt to maybe get out of the deal or maybe renegotiate for a lower price. Whatever Elon's motivation for sending this tweet and I guess throwing this cat amongst the pigeons, any social media user will tell you, there's definitely a bot problem on all the social platforms.
Absolutely. I think everyone's seen it happen on their Instagram or social media accounts, like some weird text jargon thing happening. But give me the definition. What exactly are bots?
So bots are artificial intelligence fueled chat programs that can these days do everything from ordering you food to DJing your parties.
Sometimes when you're browsing your social media feed, you might find an account or a post that just seems off.
But on social media specifically, bots look like normal human accounts. They work through an account with a profile picture and a name, just like the rest of us. But behind that account, they're a mix of algorithms and coding created to process a task or a set of functions.
Maybe it sounds like a janky product endorsement, or maybe the wording seems kind of funny.
So, for example, every time Equity Mates posts an Instagram post, there's plenty of bots set up to post links to dodgy foreign exchange trading courses. Or every time someone tweets the word Trump, there are plenty of bots set up to reply with links to his tax returns. The reason that there are so many is that bots can be made fairly easily. VentureBeat shared a guide to building a Twitter bot in less than 30 minutes. And because they're so easy to create, we've seen a proliferation of bots. Now people talk about good bots and bad bots.
I wish I had a dollar for every time you said bot in the last minute, because it was a lot of times. But I am wondering then, what is the difference between a good bot and a bad bot? Because I only seem to notice the ones that annoy me, the bad bots.
Yeah, good bots and bad bots may not be the best description. More accurately, it might be bots that comply with the platform's terms of service and bots that do not comply with the platform's terms of service. But that's a mouthful, so let's just stick with this good and bad distinction that we've got going.
I like that. All right.
Good bots are automated accounts that are programmed for a specific and often helpful or at least fun purpose. And Twitter allows them to exist. There's the Netflix bot, @Netflix_bot, that automatically tweets when new content has been added to Netflix. There's the grammar police, @_grammar_, that identifies grammatically incorrect tweets and offers suggestions. There's the Washington Post's Power Post, a bot that provides news about decision makers in Washington. You get the picture, Sasha. There's plenty of bots out there that provide useful information to social media users. They're the good bots. But then there are the bad bots as well. These are the bots that we all think about when we talk about social media bots. They're the ones that inflame political conversations, attack public figures, and generally make the internet a nastier, more divisive, and less factual place.
There's never something that's trending that's not in some way promoted by bots.
And these are the bots that Elon is worried about.
I think you're right when you said that the bad bots are what we think about in social media. So those might be a little bit more obvious to find and seek out. I'm assuming, I might be wrong. But the good bots, some of those, I would have had no idea. I would have thought that was someone actually working that. So how can you actually work out what accounts are bots and what accounts are run by people?
I think a lot of the good bots identify that they're automated accounts in their Twitter bio or their Instagram bio. Twitter also implemented a new feature that identifies good bots with a robot icon with a label automated, so people know when they see that tweet in their timeline that it's from an automated service.
So good bots identify themselves, bad bots on the most part don't. Back to the Elon story, how is he going to quantify this bot problem? And surely if it was straightforward, Twitter would have already done it?
Yeah, well, Elon said in a follow-up tweet, "To find out, my team will do a random sample of 100 followers of @Twitter. I invite others to repeat the same process and see what they discover."
So, Alec, you're telling me that he's going to look at 100 followers of one account for a $44 billion acquisition of a platform that has a total of over 200 million daily active users. Isn't this kind of a ridiculously small sample size?
Yeah, Sasha, that's right. And you're not the only one who thought that when they read that tweet. There was a lot of questioning in the Twitter replies. So Elon replied and he said, "Any sensible random sampling process is fine. If many people independently get similar results for percentage of fake, spam, duplicate accounts, that will be telling. I picked 100 as the sample size number because that is what Twitter uses to calculate less than 5% fake, spam, or duplicate." Now, the important thing there is that since Twitter went public in 2013, they've said in all their public documents that they calculate less than 5% of their users being fake accounts. And Elon, it seems, revealed how they do that with an incredibly small sample size. The reason that we know that he revealed it, or we believe he revealed it, is again, he quickly followed that tweet with another tweet and said, "Twitter Legal just called to complain that I violated their NDA by revealing the bot check sample size is 100. This actually happened." So Elon, I mean, he's trying to buy this company, but he just keeps throwing bombs.
I feel like we have to put a pin in Elon's like takeover tactics and keep on the task at hand, which is this bot question. So while Elon randomly selects 100 accounts, what does the previous research say? You know, this 5% problem, how bad is Twitter's bot problem?
Pew Research Center estimates that as much as 2/3 of tweeted links to popular websites are generated by bots.
Yeah, well, while Twitter allegedly only samples 100 accounts, and while Elon plans to only sample 100 accounts, the good news is, Sasha, plenty of research have sampled plenty more accounts, and we can look at that data and get an idea of how many bots there are on Twitter. As we said, for context, Twitter, since they IPO'd in 2013, have been saying less than 5% of the accounts on their platform are fake accounts. A lot of research would suggest that that number is low. A 2017 study by researchers from Indiana University and the University of Southern California found that between 9% and 15% of active Twitter accounts are bots. Another 2017 study by Pixelate suggested that between 3% and 17% of traffic leaving Twitter to outside websites were bots. And Sasha, SparkToro had a look at Elon Musk's Twitter account because, you know, he is the man of the moment. Of his 92 million Twitter followers, they estimate that 53% of them are fake.
53%, Alec, is extraordinary, because that leads me to think if that's Elon's problem, it's probably other people's problems as well. So is Twitter alone? Well, I already know that other social media accounts have this problem because I live on Instagram, but just give me some stats about how bad it is.
Yeah, this is not just a Twitter problem as you've identified. Everyone who is on social media, whatever platform, Reddit, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, we've all seen it. But let's start with Instagram. It has about 1 billion monthly active users. Do you want to take a guess about how many of them would be bots?
Well, Twitter's saying 5%. I'm going to say somewhere between 5 and 10.
Yeah, 10% of accounts are believed to be bots. About 95 million researchers estimate, which is a lot. It's 4 times the population of Australia. And Instagram, not alone. Facebook in 2017 admitted they had 270 million fake accounts on the site. In 2019, they removed 2.2 billion fake accounts. And again in 2021, 1.7 billion fake accounts were removed. They only have about 3 billion monthly active users. So this is a huge share of the total. But it also shares how difficult it is to continuously remove fake accounts. It would be an unending game of whack-a-mole to identify new fake accounts and try and remove them.
It sounds like the worst gardening job that there ever was, just pruning that never ends.
Instagram actually has a really instructive story here. There was a big Instagram bot purge in 2015, but the Wall Street Journal had a look after this purge and reported that potentially 8% of remaining accounts were still bots. It feels like a never-ending problem that these social media platforms have to deal with. And Sasha, across all the social media platforms, Snapchat, TikTok, Reddit, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Carnegie Mellon estimates that bots are involved in up to 20% of the conversations across social media, but especially pertaining to elections and other political issues.
I know we're not a political podcast, Alec, but it's really hard not to draw connections between society and culture and politics when you see how the social media platforms and the way that they work has an influence on the way that we connect with each other. So it does seem to be a massive problem across the internet. But then my big question is why? These social media companies have so much information on each user. They're so clever. You can imagine they could weed out the bots if they really wanted to. So I'm going to ask you that question, but first let's take a quick break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to The Dive. I'm Sasha Kelly and I'm joined by my colleague Alec Renahan. Before the break, we were talking about the size of the bot problem, something I never thought I'd say before. And now I want to understand why. These social media platforms have armies of human moderators and they're supported by artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms. Surely they could just do more to weed out these bots.
They definitely could do more. There are simple things they could do. If an account is responding to every post that includes a certain keyword, they're likely to be a bot. Or if an account is tweeting 24 hours a day, it at least deserves a closer look. It's either a business with multiple users tweeting around the clock, or more likely, it's going to be a bot. There are more extreme things these social media platforms could do as well. You could have to fill out a recapture where you select all the photos with the traffic lights or all the photos with street signs, before you can post a tweet or a Facebook comment. Or maybe every 90 days you could have to verify you're a real person with two-factor authentication. The most extreme suggestion is that Twitter should request driver's licenses or passport verification before you can set up an account.
I kind of want to say I can understand why they don't do those things because, look, the things that I say on Twitter aren't that important. And if I had to do a two-factor authentication text message, I'd probably think twice about what I said most of the time.
Maybe that would be good if you thought twice before you started trolling the Equity Mates account. But I think that the point here is not that they can't do more about bots. It's that they don't.
Okay, so explain that a little bit more. Elaborate on that.
So simply, the social media business model is built on advertising. And because of that, because they need eyeballs, the most important metric for social media businesses are monthly active users or daily active users. In many ways, it's the metric that rules the internet. In the attention economy, your active user count is how much attention you're grabbing.
And the more attention you grab, the more ads you can serve?
That's right. And with 2022 expected to be the first year when digital ad spending crosses the $500 billion mark, it is a big business. The majority of internet advertising is sold on a CPM, or cost per thousand impressions, model. So social media platforms are optimized to deliver those impressions. They make signing up as easy as possible, they make news feeds engaging to increase time on platform, and they work with push notifications and emails to get you back on the platform if you ever leave. I remember Facebook's best growth hack in the early 2010s. When someone tagged you in a photo, Facebook would send you an email and,
"You've got mail."
You know, "Sasha Kelly tagged you in a photo," but they wouldn't show you the photo in the email, and that got me back on the platform every time.
So I guess what I'm getting from you is that the attention from a bot in social media land is valued at the same equivalence as a real person.
If daily active users or monthly active users is the metric that advertisers look to, that investors look to, that everyone is watching, a bot or a real person as an active user counts all the same in that total number. So let's make you, Elon Musk, buying Twitter, or Mark Zuckerberg running Facebook. You decide you're going to take a hard line against bots. You're going to clear them from the platform. You're going to set your moderating team to delete those accounts. Well, you might end up losing 20% of your user base, which hurts your monthly active user or your daily active users number, which turns advertisers off and might push them to other platforms with more users. It will turn investors off. They don't want to see monthly or daily active users going the wrong way. So then your share price gets hurt. People sell your stock. And as an executive at one of these companies, a lower share price hurts your paycheck. So that's why these platforms are pretty lax when it comes to cracking down on bots.
Yeah, but basically everyone outside of the platform must hate them. Advertisers don't want to pay for impressions to fake accounts. You said that there's been a study that thinks that Elon Musk's 53% of his followers might be fake accounts. That's a lot of inflation in these numbers.
Yeah, Sasha, everyone hates bots. That's not surprising. Well, at least everyone hates bad bots. But advertisers in particular hate bad bots because they pay these platforms and they don't want to be delivering ads to bots that aren't going to take action and buy anything. An estimate from 2019 suggested that fake followers in influencer marketing cost brands $1.3 billion. But the challenge is there's not a lot advertisers can do about it. Facebook's family of apps dominate social media advertising, and while advertisers have made a lot of noise over the years and challenged these platforms, they haven't really been able to walk with their wallets and go and spend elsewhere.
We saw Unilever threaten to pull...
It's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, maybe Snapchat, Reddit a little bit, and then there's not much else. So if there's bots on all of these platforms and none of them are really taking a lot of action, you don't have a lot of choice as an advertiser.
So what is the future of bots then?
So as much as Elon is making noise about it now, and as much as this puts the whole Twitter acquisition in question, whether Elon ends up buying Twitter or not buying Twitter, one thing is for certain: the future of social media, the future of the internet in general, is more bots, not less bots. In 2016, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella said that bots are the new apps. Twitter and Reddit are designed to accommodate bots, all these good bots that we're talking about that add so much color and a bit of life to these platforms in different ways. They are expressly allowed in these systems. Facebook, but in particular Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp, are investing heavily in chat bots. Don't be surprised if in the coming years you're interacting with a whole bunch of companies via chatbots. And there are just so many more use cases coming out around bots across the internet. It's one of the main ways that we as internet users are engaging with artificial intelligence. A couple of years ago, Forbes wrote an article, 6 ways bots are positively changing the world. So I think to end this episode, we should end it on a positive note and talk about some of these positive ways that bots are changing the world.
Mm-hmm. So tell me one of your favorite bots.
So UNICEF created U-Report, a free SMS-based bot system that more than 2.6 million people in developing countries are using to report key issues in their communities. A number of bots have also been created to help civic engagement and for people to navigate government bureaucracy, and in particular to register to vote. But Sasha, you asked for my favorite. My favorite is a bot called Do Not Pay. Have you heard of this one?
I think I have. It might have been mentioned on Equity Mates before.
We interviewed Bill Browder, the author of Red Notice. Do Not Pay is actually his son's app, and it was a bot created to automatically challenge parking tickets. You would submit your parking ticket and it would draft a letter and send it to the relevant authority challenging it for you. I think these numbers were a couple of years old, but they'd helped challenge hundreds of thousands of parking tickets and save people millions of dollars. And now they're building a full robot lawyer that also helps tenants fight negligent landlords and the homeless apply for government support. So Sasha, we have a bad perception of bots at the moment. There's no doubt about that. But the truth is, we're going to have more bots in the future rather than less. But the challenge today for Elon, for Twitter, is finding ways to, first of all, define what a good bot is and what a bad bot is. And then secondly, find ways to identify and separate the good from the bad.
Well, you've already helped me realize that several of the things that I interact with on the internet are actually bots. And I'm quite fond of them. So I'm going to say thanks to the good bots today. And I think that's a good way for ending today's edition of The Dive. If there's a story you want us to cover, then contact us. Our email is thedive@equitymates.com, or just shoot us a message on social media. All those links, as normal, in the show notes below. Do us a favor, if you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. It just means that every time there's a new episode, it's right there in your podcast player feed, ready for you to listen. Alec, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Sasha.
Until next time. The Dive is a product of Equity Mates Media. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of The Dive acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. The hosts of The Dive are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.